Morning. Evan Sims, are you in here? He's in Children's Church. We'll get him later. And Ronnie Jaton. Tristan Snyder. He's what?
I think he's helping in nursery.
Well, I don't have any presentations to make. Should have made arrangements, shouldn't I have? Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, 5th chapter. Book of Romans, the 5th chapter. Gwen and I have been having a difficult time coming up with some time to take off, some vacation time. And you know, the new church year starts in September, and we're approaching August, so we're going to be gone the next 2 weeks, and won't be any church, won't be anything. No, we're going to have church here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you just stay well, and everything will be great, but we're gonna take off a couple weeks and try to recuperate some. And I don't know. Feel like I'm kind of off all the time, so I don't know. But I like to. Like to get my battery charged back up, and we'll be doing that over the next couple of weeks, and you pray for us. Romans, the 5th chapter, and what I want us to do, your notes start us off with the 6th verse, but we're going to jump back up and read those verses down, beginning with verse 1, because I'm going to be covering that. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. Therefore, being justified by faith. So I hope that up until this point that we've learned enough about Romans to understand that we are saved by grace. We're saved by grace. It's a gift of God. It's God's total gift to us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, all those words are important. It's the inspired word of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Really? Do we? Paul said we glory in tribulations also, do we? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You may be seated. Now in verses 6 through verse 11, the Lord said that we were without strength in verse 6, that we were sinners in verse 8, and that we were enemies in verse 10. And we were all those things, all of us. And yet the Lord saved us. You see, there is not anything in us that's worth saving. But the Lord saved us. If we could ever come to that place to realize what He has brought us from, then all of our lives would be totally and absolutely changed. All right, let's look at verses 1 through verse 5, because there's some very important phrases here that we need to look at, some words that we need to look at. In verses 1 and verse 2, there is this term, peace with God. What does that mean? Well, there was a battle going on between us and God, and it's over. There's a battle going on between us and God, and now it's over. You see, the devil was battling to keep us lost. You understand what the devil has planned for your life? It's to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil wants you to continue to be lost. The devil wants you to spend eternity in hell. That's his plan for you. And so whatever he can do to keep you in that condition, that's what he's going to do. You know, for the most part, I don't think that the devil would be able to convince people, well, God, there's no God. Now, there's some folks that call themselves atheists. That's the strangest group that I can imagine, that they spend all their time trying to convince people that there is no God. If he doesn't exist, what is the problem here? I mean, let's just accept it and go on. Why would you spend all of your life trying to convince folks that there was no God? I mean, it becomes your religion. The devil would try to convince you to put it off. So if you could put it off one more Sunday, let's pray. Let's pray. Hey, there's something going on here. I don't know what it is. But he's trying to keep you from hearing what I have to say. And he's trying to keep me distracted in such a way I can't say it. Let's pray. Father, we come before your throne. Maybe this is what we should have done first, and I was so anxious I didn't do it. And God, I feel like that some way we're not connected. People's not connected to me, and maybe I'm not connected to you, and I'm not connected to them. They're not hearing me this morning, Lord. God, I pray that you'd open ears, hearts this morning to your word, that we might grab hold of what is before us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The battle's over. I get this picture of at the end of World War II, all the celebrations that took place. When the war was over, we had won. The good guys had won. And all of these, there's videos and pictures of celebrations taking place at the end of World War II. Just fantastic. And when the battle is over between us and God, you get this picture. God winning. But we won too. How is that? The battle's over, and the battle between us and God, and both of us win. We win because we've been born again, and God wins us. Look with me at Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians 2. And look down at verse 14. Ephesians 2, look at verse 14. For he is our peace. For he is our peace. Who is that? Who is our peace? Jesus. So if you have peace in your life, it's because of Jesus. He is our peace. For he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So that peace came about through Jesus Christ. He's our peace. And then thirdly, we have a standing in grace. Our standing is in grace according to Romans. Unmerited favor, undeserved favor. My account has been settled in Christ, and there's no score sheet anymore. I'm His, and He is mine. Verse 2 says that we have access. It talks about all these things that took place when we got saved. Now we have peace with God. The battle's over. The devil was trying to get our soul. He was trying to take us to hell. And so he was fighting to keep our soul. And now he's lost. And God is won. And we're born again. But not only that, we have peace. But also we have access. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar and not going to try to convince you that I am, but the tense of this word, having access, indicates that it is a standing. It means that it's permanent. It's a permanent possession. We have constant access. It's not an access that is determined upon whether or not we're good, or it's not an access that is determined on where we're at. It's not an access that is determined by the way that we look or the way that we feel. It is a permanent access. A permanent access. That's pretty good preaching on eternal security, isn't it? If that word means that access is permanent, then when we get saved, we have a permanent access to Him. It's constantly there. I like this next word. It is the word rejoice. It's a word that is normally translated boast. It means a triumph, a rejoicing confident. It's we've won the victory. We rejoice because the battle has been won. We rejoice because we have the victory. It's permanent access, it's permanent peace, and it's triumph. Another word that Paul used here in this passage was the word hope. Someone's translated hope as a happy certainty. It's not It's not perhaps. It's not it that it might be. It's that it is. It's this hope is a happy certainty. We know that it's going to take place. We know that it's going to take place. We know that it's for real. What we have is for real. In verse 3, use the word tribulation. This word is translated stress in our society. Stress. In the original language, it comes from a word that is a device called a tribulant. It was used to crush the wheat and separate the chaff from the wheat. So it was a pressure device. It was a rock, a roller, a threshing wheel. It was called the tribulant. And we get this word tribulation from that. Are you getting the picture? The tribulation, the wheel, the tribulant, threshing unit was on the floor. The wheat was put on the threshing solid floor, and another rock was taken, and that tribulant was rolled over that wheat. And as it was rolled over that wheat, they take a winnowing device, a shovel of such, and they would throw that wheat up in the air, and the wind would carry the chaff away, and the pure wheat would fall to the ground. And that device that was rolling over that wheat was called a tribulant. Tribulation, pressure. Think about it. It was between a rock and a hard place, wasn't it? It was between a rock and a hard place. It was tribulation. And so the Lord has allowed this tribulation, Paul said, in our life, and it produces perseverance. What's perseverance? What does it mean to persevere? It means to hold out faithful. It means to be faithful all the way through. In our Sunday school class this morning, I don't know what your lesson was on, but ours was on Daniel. And Daniel was faithful. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because I can't pronounce the other names, were faithful. They stayed faithful. What is it that you and I can do in the hearts of our young people that will cause them to continue under pressure to persevere? What is it that we need in our own lives that will cause us to be able to persevere under pressure? Well, it's this saving grace that he talks about. It's this constant access that he talks about that brings that around. What I need most in my walk with the Lord is endurance, to stay in the race, to stay in there. I don't know about you, but the race gets tiresome sometimes on my part. I want to sit down. I want to drop back. Well, God's given us proof of His intention to complete His work in us in verse 4 and verse 5. Look at that. And patience, experience, and experience. There it is, that word hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit living within us. Let's look at Philippians 1. Look at verse 6. Philippians 1 and verse 6. This is a verse that you probably remember. This is a verse that you should have memorized probably. I don't have. Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing. I'm confident. What's that? If I'm confident of something, I know that it's going to take place. I know that it's going to happen. And being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 5 he says, God's love has been given us, not in a little stream, not in a little trickle, but it's been poured out. Here in verse 5, it has been poured out. It's been poured out in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. It's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together. The most important decision that you'll ever make in all your life is what you do with Jesus Christ. I want to give you an invitation today to trust Him as your Savior. I want to give you an invitation today to make a decision for Him. Whatever that is, maybe you've already trusted Him, but you've not made that public through baptism. Or if you're here today and you're born again and God's dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship, join the church, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Or to make a recommitment to Him. Perhaps the Lord's dealing with your heart about that. So, Donna's going to lead us in a verse. I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision for Christ right now. As we sing, you come. Turn.